your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Monday, January 25th edition of Locked On Panthers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. Make sure to follow the show account at @LO_FLA Panthers. Make sure to follow the national show at Locked On NHL Pods. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. And today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all things Florida Panthers. So now we're on day six of no Florida Panthers hockey to talk about, at least after the first two games against the Chicago Blackhawks, but that would just be me hitting on the same points that I've been talking about. And I don't want to beat the dead horse on certain parts of those two games and want to move on to the Columbus series. But there are a few things that have happened while the Panthers were not in action. There was another mix-up on the fourth line. As you saw in game one, it was Ryan Lomberg on the left side of the fourth line. Then in game two, it was Vinny Hinostroza. And then now in Friday's practice and in the Saturday scrimmage, we saw Juho Lemko, who made a quick stint with the Florida Panthers back in 2018-2019 before eventually going to Liga and then the KHL, where combined in the stint there, he had a total of 59 points, 28 goals, 31 assists in 79 games between the KHL and Liga. And Noah Juslin, a player that the Florida Panthers picked up off of waivers from the Montreal Canadiens, and the former 26th overall pick from Montreal, was added to the third defensive line in practice and played in the scrimmage, where he was paired with Keith Yandel in practice, but in the scrimmage he was paired with Gustav Forsling. More roster moves for the Florida Panthers is Riley Stillman and Brady Keeper have been sent down to the AHL. And also, speaking of the AHL, the schedule for the Syracuse Crunch has been released. As I probably said in the previous recordings, or if you haven't heard already, with the Florida Panthers' AHL affiliate, the Charlotte Checkers, opting out of the season, the Florida Panthers have combined for this year only, at least for now, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the schedule is out for the Syracuse Crunch. And just skimming through the schedule of the Syracuse Crunch, looks like that their schedule model is kind of the same way as the NHL, where a lot of their teams are that they will be facing are very close by to each other. Like, they'll be going to play against the Utica Comets, just right down just a little east of Syracuse. They'll be going a little west to play the Rochester Americans. They'll be going down to Scranton, Pennsylvania to play the Pittsburgh Penguins affiliate. And it's just really three or four teams that they'll be facing all year long. So that's it for the AHL season, the schedule. And the last game for this year's AHL season is scheduled to be May 25th. And the Panthers will get plenty of opportunities to get some ice time, especially someone like Sam Montembeau, Brady Keeper, Riley Stillman, who were just sent down. And although I do have a little bit of concerns with combining an affiliate with the Tampa Bay Lightning, however, the coaching staff for the Charlotte Checkers will be there as well. So that makes me feel a little better about keeping the other coaches accountable for wanting to get the Cats players and or on the ice to get their reps in, their development in. So that's some good news for the Florida Panthers. So part of today's show is bringing on a special guest to our show. And I tweeted about this yesterday saying on that today's episode, we will have a special guest. And you guys already know who it is because when you turn on this podcast, you see the title and the description. So if unless you haven't looked at that, then you don't know who is going to be the guest. But I welcomed the former host of Locked On Panthers, Frank Rikas, onto the show to talk about the state of the Florida Panthers through two games. And here is my conversation with Frank Rikas, owner and operator of PantherParkway.com. All right, and now joining me on the Locked On Panthers podcast is the former host of Locked On Panthers, Mr. Frank Rikas. Frank, how are you doing, man?
Hey, Armando. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. Good job. Great job so far on the show, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, man. For real, though, I wouldn't be here without you, honestly. Like, I know we have all our things going on in our personal lives and all our everything with transitioning with this year. It's been a tough year for everybody. And thank you for also bringing me on to Panther Parkway. And also, like, I know we said this privately, but I also want to say this publicly as well. Like, even though you won't be doing this 5 days a week, like, you're always welcome on this, and you are a smart Panther mind who the fan base really knows really much about. And you are always welcome.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, Josh and I reviewed your work before we brought you on, and we thought you were a great person to bring on. So anytime you want me on, just give me a heads up, but I can't give you 5 days a week, that's for sure.
That's fine. So let's talk about the past week with the Florida Panthers. Obviously, they won two games and came out with 4 points in it against a rebuilding Chicago Blackhawks, your Chicago Blackhawks. And, you know, it's going to be a tough year for them. They won the other night against Detroit. And what do you think of the current Panthers roster as it stands right now? Because there was a lot of turnover this last offseason with Bill Zito bringing in familiar faces of Nutavara, Wenberg, and bringing in familiar faces of Purdue in Canestroza and Anthony Duclair, bringing in veterans like Hornquist. What do you think of this all so far?
Well, there's definitely a lot of players that weren't here last year. And I think both Zito and Coach Q realized that, you know, there needed to be some culture change. You know, Dad left, Hoffman left, you know, there was about 60 goals a year right there that placed. But the Panthers, you know, took some action. They wanted to change the culture in the room. They wanted to change the culture on the ice. And, you know, I thought it was going to take a while for, you know, everybody to kind of gel and get together because, you know, training camp was short and fast 2 weeks and they had really no games to play other than scrimmage games. But, you know, so far the first two games, they look good. You know, whether Chicago's a bad team or not, you know, the Panthers, I think they're trying to develop a style of up-tempo, fast pace and use their speed. And if they can do that and get good goaltending, then, you know, I think they're going to surprise a lot of people.
Your last part brought me to this next question. Obviously, year one for Sergei Bobrovsky was not a good one. Some of the goals that he let through, some of them, you know, were him to blame. He had one just the other night on the fourth goal against Chicago where they took the lead. And then And then there were times where he was just left one-on-one, and you and Josh had that famous two-second recording saying the defense sucks, which I always laugh so much with. It was pure comedy. And so it leads me to this question. Until what point are we going to stop putting it on the defense and say that Bob needs to be more accountable with everything?
You know, that's a difficult question. And as you know, you look through social media, there's a lot of people that are still very, very frustrated with Bob. And I don't know if it's because of the size of his contract, the length of his contract, or his erratic play, or a combination of all of it. I think it's early yet. You know, yeah, people are calling him four goal Bob. Okay, well, you know, that's what we've been accustomed to, but maybe he needs to get a few games under his belt. Maybe he needs to, again, get used to this defense a little bit, but we have to have better goaltending from him. And I would say we got to give him, you know, by 10 games, we need to know where he's at. He needs to be consistent. This is a short season. If not, I mean, I have a lot of faith in Chris Drieger. He looks really, really good. And I would have no problem using him, but, you know, you can't leave a $10 million goalie sitting on the bench too many nights.
So absolutely. And with the size of a contract like that comes with the expectation. And I don't know how much you looked at Twitter the other day based on the beat writers. There was Drieger outplayed Bob again in the third scrimmage. So it raises a little bit of an eyebrow in that as well. They did the style of first line and third line on one team and then second and fourth line on the other. And I believe the final score in the scrimmage was 3-1, but like I said on Locked On Panthers, the Panthers are playing the Panthers, so we can't really judge that fully as saying where this team is at. And same thing with the first two games.
Yep.
The NBA is in the middle of the thick of things, and so is the NHL. Another Tampa Bay franchise is headed to a championship game, with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the NFC Championship and heading to the Super Bowl. And there's only one place that has you covered, and one place that we trust, and that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today, wherever you get podcasts. Locked On Panthers on a Monday, January 25th, 2021. And we are just one more day away from Panthers hockey returning to our lives. We're almost there. It's been almost a week. It's been tough. It's been tough for me as well. We're only a day away, as they say in the song. Now, here is part two of my conversation with the owner and operator of PantherParkway.com, Frank Rikus. Right now, the biggest struggle with the Panthers is the PK. I know it's a small sample size and two games with 40% PK, which, again, numbers are skewed. What do you think needs to improve? Is it the taking of the penalties? Is it the personnel on the ice with the PK? Is it what do you think that is?
Well, taking penalties is always going to be an issue depending on the type of penalty. I'm okay with, you know, certain physical type penalties, but I'm not a huge fan of, you know, hooking, tripping. It means that you probably weren't in position and you're trying to make it, and, you know, you're taking a calculated risk and a chance. And at a split second, it's easy for a player to make that decision, and it's easy for us who were not on the ice to make that statement. But on the other side of that coin, when we're on the PK, I think we need to be more aggressive. I think we need to force shots from the outside rather than from up close. Again, it's a small sample. I think when we play Columbus this coming week, or this week, we're going to see a little bit different style than what Chicago had. And I think that'll be a bigger test for, you know, how we react.
And that leads, once you're now leading to two straight points in this whole conversation, Frank. So
we didn't rehearse this.
We didn't. No, we did not. So now going to the Columbus series, there's some pretty big news that came out of Columbus. If you're not in the Twitterverse, there was some tensions between Pierre-Luc Dubois and John Tortorella. And then with the trade partner that they had with the Winnipeg Jets, there was a contract dispute between Patrick Laine and the Winnipeg Jets. So there's a trade that happened where they sent Pierre-Luc Dubois and a third-round pick to the Winnipeg Jets in exchange for Jack Roslovic and Patrick Laine. And here's some good news for Panther fans. Based on travel, COVID protocols, they won't be in the lineup. More than likely, they won't for the upcoming series. But where do you think that changes how the Panthers go into that now that they won't have to see a Pierre-Luc Dubois?
Well, it's nice not to have Pierre-Luc Dubois play against you, although if he takes every shift like he took his last shift here tonight, it wouldn't matter. I mean, that was an abomination. But Columbus plays a hard game. You know, when you play for John Tortorella, you're expected to play a hard game. You push, you forecheck, you're physical, and the Panthers have to be able to stand up to that. And it's not going to be an easy contest, whether Laine and Roslovic are in the lineup or not. Columbus still is a very good team. I believe they won last night, and maybe it was the relief of, you know, getting off the team and removing the drama. And, you know, that's another conversation, I think. But the Panthers cannot take this game lightly. They got to play hard. They got to play quick, and they got to take advantage of opportunities that they get, because Columbus won't give you many.
Which leads to my second question. Why do you think people don't want to stay in Columbus? I know we had two free agents in the 2019 offseason leave Columbus, and Artemi Panarin to the Rangers, which the Panthers were pursuing Artemi Panarin to pair up with Sergei Bobrovsky, and then Bob signing with the Florida Panthers, and then Patrick Laine, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Why do you think people have a hard time staying there?
I don't know. I mean, they've had some pretty tough coaches in the past, and I'm going to go on record. I like John Tortorella. Sometimes actually kind of funny, but I like his hard-nosed approach. Now, that kind of makes me a very traditional fan. They also had Ken Hitchcock, who had struggles with Rick Nash and a couple other players. So I don't know, but you know, when you bring in a coach like that, your team is expected to win because they want to win. Both of those guys were former Stanley Cup winning coaches, and you know, they're not there to develop. They're not there for a rebuild. They want to win. Maybe it's just, you know, not having the right chemistry of players. I can't say anything bad about the city of Columbus. I've never been there. It looks like it's a decent place. I'm not so sure, you know, Winnipeg is that much different other than it's in Canada. And you know, they both have rabid fans who enjoy the game. They're smart fans. And, you know, Columbus is a city that, you know, hasn't had a team for a very long time, but they have a really solid fan base and they're competitive. I don't know what it is. I you know, and maybe we'll find out more. I mean, we've seen some things on social media that it was Tortorella, that it's not Tortorella. I mean, I don't know who to believe, but I honestly, you know, can't blame a coach for sitting a guy on the bench for most of the second and part and all the third period when you take a shift like you really don't care. I mean, you can't play. And then that's just a problem. So he kind of set himself up for getting traded, and everybody knew that he wanted to be traded, and that last shift kind of devalued him a little bit more as well. So I don't have the answer for that, but if I was a player, I would not mind playing for Tortorella because he wants you to be better and he wants to win. That's what I want.
I agree. I don't know how much you watch the NBA, but the NBA is a kind of league where there's a lot of player empowerment when it comes to like movement now. And it really started with LeBron James in 2010 when he came to South Florida with the Miami Heat. Do you think this is like a, do you think NHL players are looking at the NBA, a league that goes on at the same time, that has the same kind of schedule structure? A lot of their arenas are shared with hockey teams. Do you think this was a step into more player empowerment within hockey players?
God, I hope not. I mean, I really don't watch the NBA. I know what's going on, kind of, sort of. I haven't been a fan since, you know, the days of Michael Jordan in Chicago. And then I just kind of got, you know, disenchanted with the NBA in general because of the player empowerment. And, you know, I see some of that happening in the NHL. And this trade with Columbus and Winnipeg was a perfect example. So I hope it's not going that way. And there's a lot of movement. You know, I mean, there's an awful lot of movement of players. And yeah, free agency is exciting. And, you know, the trade day is always exciting. But I don't know if it look, is it really that good for the game?
We're going to get back to my conversation with Frank Ricas after the break. But a reminder that this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. The new and improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. With 18 amazing flavors and 6 new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. And today's flavor profile is peanut butter. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch. Free cooler with the purchase while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Locked On Panthers on a Monday, January 25th. 2021. A reminder that you could email me at lockedonpanthers@gmail.com. Follow the show account at @LO_FLAPanthers. You could follow the national show at LockedOnNHLPods. And later this week, I will be breaking down the Columbus series and also reviewing the series after against the Detroit Red Wings, and maybe I might have a guest on with one of those teams. Maybe I might not. You never know. It might just come as a surprise to you who might come on and who might not. So, like to keep you guys on your toes. So make sure you're subscribed to the show anywhere you listen to podcasts. Give it 5 stars. Tell your friends about it, and we could talk all things Florida Panthers hockey. And now, here's part 3 of my conversation with the owner and operator of PantherParkway.com, Frank Ricas. Going back to the Panthers, who has been your biggest surprise and disappointment through the first 2 games?
I don't know if he's been a surprise, but I think he's probably exceeded my expectations, but Carter Verhaeghe looks really, really good on the line. I mean, I can't skate a lick, but I'm sure Barkov could make me look good somehow. But he has looked really good. I mean, he came from a great organization, just couldn't crack a lineup and, you know, get enough opportunities. So I've been really, really impressed with him. Disappointing. I mean, other than Bob in the one game, put my finger on anybody specific. You know, people have, you know, players have had certain spots where they haven't looked great, you know, on defense. I can't think of his name now. Strelman has had his moments. Gudas has had a couple awkward moments, but, you know, it's early, 2 games in, but, you know, Verhaeghe on the one side and Bob on the other, if, you know, you're going to pin me down and, you know, have me name 2 players.
Yeah, and Verhaeghe led the AHL in points in 2019. I believe it was with 8 It was somewhere north of 80. And yeah. one player who's actually been a little bit of a disappointment for me is Nolotari. A little bit quiet. I know there's a lot of shift on the fourth line, especially with the left wing. There's, I believe, Hinostroza was there one night, and then not Forsling, Lomberg, the other. And then in practice, it was Noah Juslin in the other. But I see that he's only taken one shot on goal, I believe it was, through two games, and he's only winning a third of his faceoffs. So that is my disappointment so far for two games. But like I said, it's only two games. There's still plenty of time for this team to get it together. And last question. I'm sure you've heard already, because we've talked about it in our Panther Parkway chat. NBC Sports Network is ending their channel completely at the end of 2021. And the previous deal with the NHL also expires. So I don't think that's a coincidence. And David Dwork pointed out on Chirping the Cats Radio that their deal at the time was 10 years, $200 million. And, oh, I forgot to point out that a lot of their games will be transferred to USA Network, which is in more houses. Where do you think this leads for the league in general?
Well, you have to have a major network, and I don't think USA is a major network, and yet it's in more houses, but I think it paves the way for ESPN to make a comeback. And if you can Gary Thorne to come back, and you know, I know Bill Clement is kind of retired, maybe, or I don't know if he still does games for the Flyers, but if you can attract two quality play-by-play announcers, I think ESPN would be the perfect, you know, landing space for it. You know, they've been talking about wanting to get into it for, you know, the last little while. I think it makes sense. And, you know, when ESPN had it and they were paying attention to it and they were focusing on hockey during SportsCenter, you know, they did a really, really nice job. Once they started kind of getting a little bit lazy about it and hockey was a bit of an afterthought, then, you know, it didn't work out. But I think this does pave the way for them.
Yeah, because ESPN really has like four or five people who really talk about hockey there. You have Steve Levy, John Buchagras, Barry Melrose, if he's still there. I don't know if Melrose is still with the network. But you never see hockey talk there, only really during the Stanley Cup final or in the conference finals. But I think this would be a good opportunity for ESPN to grow the game more, because hockey's so fun. And being from South Florida, and if this team is winning, fans will come, fans will embrace it. But I tell people, look at the Tampa Bay Lightning. If you win consistently and you create that culture, the fans will be there. It doesn't matter if it snows in South Florida or not. And I think if the Panthers can create that, along with having that coverage of ESPN, not only will a team like the Florida Panthers will be recognized more locally, but with the new TV contract with possibly ESPN, can help really market this team so much better. A Forbes article came out this past offseason about the values of NHL franchises, and the Florida Panthers out of 31 teams are 30th. So maybe it could help grow the franchise.
Well, it's, you know, I don't care where you are. It's always all about winning. And naturally, if you're an original six franchise, you have a following because it's gone down from generation to generation. Just makes, you know, the fan base a lot stronger. Here, we really haven't had that degree of success. You know, we can go all the way back to 1996 for the last time we won a playoff series, and that's been a struggle. But if and when the team wins, you know, and we get back to normal as far as attendance goes, the building will be full. There's a lot of Panther fans out there, you know,
absolutely,
regardless of the jokes and the sale. out there on social media, there are a lot of Panther fans, but people want to pay for quality product. When they see a quality product, then they'll start coming to games. That's pretty natural anywhere, you know?
Yeah. And you see it, and you see it as well with the Miami Marlins playing in Little Havana, which is just, I don't know, 3 miles west of downtown, and they can't fill stadiums. So it doesn't matter if it's in Little Havana or Broward County, and the Panthers have been committed to Broward County. They make it very clear that they are Broward County's team. And I also like as a fan having that small market feel to it, because the wins are more meaningful, the connection with the team are more meaningful. Fans like you and I, even when this team is bad or good, it's more meaningful for fans.
Yeah, and if you like hockey, you know, I mean, it's a great sport. You want your team to win, and I think that's what, you know, the Panthers are trying to do. They've got a fantastic coach. They've got a general manager now, you know, changing up the guard in that respect, who wants to put a winning product on the ice. Done with the team. We're going to find out if all those moves have worked out, but so far, so good. And let's hope that they keep going.
So too, Frank. And there's 54 games left, off to a good start. Like we said earlier, Columbus probably won't have Lane in the lineup in this upcoming series. So it's time for them to take advantage. And I believe Detroit is their next series, and they kind of came down to earth on Friday. I think the game was Friday. And
yeah, Friday night.
And, you know, it's time for the Panthers to put up or shut up, in my opinion.
I think this has to be the year, you know, despite the fact that it's a shortened schedule, despite the fact that it, you know, is a tough division, but they've got to prove it every night, every single night, every shift. They got to be at the top of their game. And, you know, it needs to happen for them. It needs to happen for South Florida. And it needs to happen for some of the players that are on the team.
Awesome, Frank. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate everything you've done for me. And again, you're welcome back anytime, Frank.
Thanks for having me, Armando. Great job. Keep up the great work. And I really enjoy listening to you every morning on my way in.
Thanks, Frank.
All right.
And thank you once again to owner of PantherParkway.com, Frank Ricas, for joining me on the podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Frank Ricas. You can follow the Florida Panthers account over there at Panther Parkway. You can follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. You can follow the show account at LO_FLA Panthers. You can follow the national show at LockedOnNHLPods. You can email me at LockedOnFLAPanthers@gmail.com for your questions, hot takes, everything, your opinions about the Florida Panthers and this podcast. And that is going to wrap up for today's episode of Locked On Panthers. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to tell your friends about it. Or if your friends happen to be a fan of another NHL team, their team also has a Locked On podcast related to their team. So that is going to be all for me today, guys. Signing off, Armando Velez. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for tomorrow's preview of the Columbus series, right here on Locked On Panthers.